Just over a year ago, before baby Irena had taken her first breath in the world, Stacy announced to me that we were going to the beach. Now, I didn't think this was a very wise idea. Stacy was 2 weeks overdue, and a trip to the labor and delivery room could happen at any moment. In spite of my reasoning, I knew that look in Stacy's eyes. Without a word, I packed up the car and got Trey ready to go. Words can't describe our first glimpse of Seal Beach. It was a spectacular day. Blue skies, a gentle breeze, and Catalina Island in the distance. Stacy's instructions were clear: go play with Trey. So for the next hour, I chased Trey around the playground. Trey loves to run up, down, and underneath all the playground equipment. He only stops to say, "You can't catch me, Daddy." When we both were exhausted, we joined Stacy on a giant beach towel, and we enjoyed the beach together. And then it happened. No, Stacy didn't go into labor, but we had a moment with one another on that beach. I wonder today, have you ever had that moment, that experience of God's love out in the beauty of nature? I wonder today, who was with you and where were you at? As we sat there, Trey in my arms and Stacy next to me, the waves of the ocean rose and they receded. The waves in a relaxing rhythm came and they went back. And that's when it hit me. I whispered to Trey and Stacy, "God is like a wave of the ocean." Now, the science of waves is straightforward. Waves are created by wind blowing over large water surfaces. And of course, for the physics people among us, there's the gravitational pull of the moon. But it struck me in that moment that waves help us think about God. Waves help us think about how God works in each and every one of our lives. So the good news that I proclaimed to you this morning is God is like a wave of the ocean. And He invites every one of us to come to the life-giving waters. The height and the depth and the width of this journey can't be lived from the sidelines, but has to be experienced firsthand. But I must offer you a warning before I go any further. Catching a wave is dangerous. There's some risks involved. Waves break. Waves continually crash on the shore, and over time, of course, this makes sand. In the same way, if we want to catch a wave, God will shape us from rock to sand. The Bible tells us a wonderful little story, the story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah was asked to get on an amazing wave and head to Nineveh. God chose Jonah to carry this message that it was time for the Ninevites to change their way. But Jonah ignored this call and he headed for different waters. Jonah boarded a ship headed in the opposite direction, Tarshish. Soon a storm threatened to destroy the ship. The crew members and captain faced the reality of death. They prayed and even initiated an investigation of the passengers. Jonah was forced to share with the cool-headed captain that he was running from God. And when the captain asked Jonah what he should do, Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." So the cool-headed captain waited a little bit longer. And after trying everything else, the crew members and the captain finally threw Jonah off that ship. And as many of you know, the story tells us that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Jonah escaped death and was forced to face his fears, his prejudices, his insecurities, and inadequacies inside the belly of a whale. In the pit of life, Jonah finally allowed God to reshape him, to begin the hard process of transformation. After Jonah's dark night of the soul, he proclaimed in thanksgiving to God, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." Coming to the life-giving waters doesn't mean that life is going to be easier, as Jonah's life teaches us. Be warned, catching God's wave, whether we like it or not, means that God will reshape us, will change us. God's love will transform and strip away the worldly residues of selfishness and ego, just like sand on the ocean shore. The second warning today is that waves are scary. Maybe some of you have experienced this. Occasionally, the current of the wave can pin us to the bottom of the ocean. The Bible has an entire book devoted to a man who faced tremendous tragedy. Job was a man who loved God and sought to ride God's wave. He caught a wave and he crashed. After losing his property, his livestock, and even his children, Job presents his case before God and wrestles with God's role in his circumstances. Yet in the midst of pain and disillusionment, Job still affirmed God's mysterious power, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. Have you ever been in the valley of despair or hopelessness? Have you ever felt pinned to the bottom of the ocean? If so, take courage today. You're not alone. There's hope, because God meets us in the pit of despair. God, as the psalmist declares, is a very present help in our times of trouble. But this is not the whole story. Catching God's wave also has a tremendous upside. The gospel passage for today, we overhear Jesus' invitation to come, to follow with all of our hearts. Jesus invites Peter to join him in wave walking and world transformation. Waves are inviting. Their rhythm and their refreshing power beckons us, just like Jesus. Come is Jesus' invitation to every one of us to give our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength for the gospel. But before we can get to this wave walking, we need to remind ourselves of Peter's story with God. Peter was tough. Peter was a Galilean fisherman. And one day he was casting nets into the sea. Jesus came to visit him. News of this rabbi who preached this message of the kingdom of God had spread throughout Palestine. Imagine Peter's wonder and curiosity when he looked at Jesus in the face. This simple command from Jesus' lips, "Come." And Peter dropped his nets and followed him. Peter had no idea the vastness of the waves he was about to enter. This headstrong fisherman was about to have his life turned upside down. Jesus' message and mission, the kingdom of God, was unlike other messages and mission in the first century world. Right after Peter decides to follow, the Gospel of Matthew records a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus proclaimed that a new day had dawned. A new way of being human was here. He told people that the beginning of this world had come and they could catch its wave. He proclaimed an upside-down kingdom, a revolution of love, where the poor are blessed, mourners are comforted, and those who are meek inherit the earth. That's right, the earth no longer belonged to the strong and the mighty, but to the peacemakers, to the justice seekers, to the pure in heart. God asked us to find our strength in love, not in power and control. In essence, Jesus invited us to become a part of a new family. A family that's not defined by ethnic boundaries, but gives worth to every man, woman, and child. This new family would be the salt and the light to a world in need. And as Peter sought to be a wave walker, he struggled. It's hard to stay on top of the wave. It's hard to live out the gospel's high calling to love our neighbors and enemies. All of us can lose sight of the wave. But even after failing time and time again, Peter didn't stop. He kept on going. He didn't quit. He kept running headstrong into the wave. Waves are refreshing, and so is Peter's story. Peter gives us hope. Peter, that valuable man, that every one of us can make a difference in this world. Waves are also consistent. They keep coming, just like God. Jesus kept nudging Peter, just like Jesus nudges us. Jesus reminds us of his love through a hug, an encouraging word, a stirring anthem, a movie, a courageous act, the beauty of nature that surrounds us, and sometimes a still, small voice, or the consistent rhythm of the waves every day, 24 hours a day. Last year, I took a group of youth to Corona Del Mar for an afternoon of fun. And of course, we caught some waves. About 10 of us jumped into the ocean and attempted to body surf. Many of the youth had not body surfed before, so we explained to them what it took. And we learned a lot. We learned that it takes patience and practice to catch a wave. And to my joy, many of the youth caught waves. We laughed, we joked, and we encouraged one another to keep trying. Words like, you can do it, and try this, gave us all encouragement to keep trying. In the same way, the waves of life give us another opportunity to be God's people, to be people of the wave. In the midst of the waves, in the midst of the wind, Jesus simply says, come. Waves are welcoming. The back and forth rhythm is peaceful and steady. Waves seem to say to us, come. After whispering to Stacy and Trey that God is like a wave of the ocean, I asked Trey if he wanted to dive in with me. His little face lit up. He said yes, but his body was filled with that hesitation that all of us have. And when I picked him up and ran into the wave, tears, laughter, and joy overwhelmed us both. And that's when he looked at me and said, Daddy, let's not do that again. The power of Peter's story is not just that it happened, but that it happens. God invites every one of us to be wave walkers. God invites us into a journey, anything beyond anything we could imagine. A journey of forgiveness, a journey of love for our enemies, a journey where we give to those who are in need. And the benefits of wave walking exceed the risks. Wave walkers receive abundant life and joy exceeding. So when you go to Rifle Gap and Rifle Falls or even the local pool this summer, and I hope you do, remember the waves and remember Jesus' call to come. Wave walkers, wave runners, wave riders, and even wave watchers. Whatever your age, whatever your background, whatever your ethnicity, prejudice, talents, limitations, gifts, and skills, the time is now. Go and catch a wave. Amen.